Everybody say that with me. I am persuaded. Say that like you are. I am persuaded. Amen. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. In other words, he's saying, I got a made up mind. I've got a made up mind. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. You got to be persuaded. You got to have your mind made up. The word persuaded here comes from a Greek word, piezo, and it means that I am in agreement, or I am fully assured. Amen. I am fully assured. Amen. And then he launches into some things that are here. He said, neither death nor life. Amen. I think the greatest boogeyman of human existence is death. Amen. You can be in a party and you start talking about death and it gets quiet and it changes the atmosphere. People don't like to think about it. People don't like to talk about it because it's the great unknown. Death. Amen. But Paul said, I am persuaded. I am assured. I am in total agreement that death cannot separate me from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself called death sleep. And Paul referred to death as a sleep in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So death cannot separate you from Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it ushers you into the eternal presence of Jesus Christ. It just simply removes the possibility of you ever being separated from Jesus Christ. So then death cannot separate us today. If you've got your mind made up, death can't separate you from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It can separate you from sin, but it can't separate you from Jesus. Amen. And then he said life. I'm persuaded life can't do it. Now, you got to be persuaded about that one. Amen. There are opportunities in life to get separated. There are detours along the road of life. And if you want to, you have opportunity to take the detour, to take the exit off of the road of life. Amen. But if your mind's made up, whatever life brings, you're saying, hey, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to be true on the way to the end of this road. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. I think Job is a great example of that. When Job was a prosperous man, Job was a wealthy man, he said, riches are not going to separate me from God. So he was a wealthy and a rich man. The Bible said he was the richest man in the whole East. He had more money than anybody for miles around. But you know what Job did every day? He worshiped God. Every day he sacrificed to God. Every day he praised God. He said, I'm a rich man, but I know where my riches come from. And I know without all this, I'd just be a poor man. Amen. He understood that God is my riches. And then when he lost it all, I mean in one day's time, one bad news messenger after another came, and the news just kept getting worse and worse and worse until finally somebody came. All of your children were killed in a tornado today. I mean, he had nothing but a wife that wasn't prayed through. Now, that was a nice way to say that, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. I mean, lost all of his stuff. His tractors were gone. His semi-trailers and tractors were gone. Amen. His bank account was gone. His pickup truck was gone. Amen. His everything he had was all gone. All of his stuff. Amen. What did he say? He said, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know why? He had a made up mind. He said, I've received blessing, mercy at the hand of the Lord. Shall I not receive evil? Amen. It's going to come in life. Hey, you're going to understand that you might be blessed today and it may be all knocked down tomorrow. Amen. We have a little paraphrase today. The Lord gives and Uncle Sam takes away. Amen. It can happen. You got it now, but I can't promise how long you're going to be able to have it. I don't know how long you're going to be able to hang on to it, but here's the thing. Don't love your stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just it's okay to have stuff, just don't love it. Amen. Just hold it in your hand so it can go if it needs to go, or it can stay if it needs to stay. Just don't get too clingy. Amen. Somebody said you can have as much as you can hold in your hand, just don't ever let it get in your heart. Amen. Don't ever let possessions and stuff ever get in your heart. Just keep it in your hand. Amen. I try my best, and I slip every now and then. But I try not to ever say I love stuff. I don't ever want to say I love my house. I don't want to say I love my car. I don't want to use that word about any kind of stuff. Now, I'd use that about my wife. I use that about my daughter. I use that about the church. I'll use that about things that mean something to me. But I never want to use the word love when it pertains to stuff. I don't want to take any chance it's ever going to get in here. Amen. I don't want any kind of stuff, anything to separate me from the Lord. So Job said that was just stuff. I can get by without that, even though his children had gone to be with the Lord. He had taught them right. He sacrificed on their behalf. Amen. He did everything he could to make sure they were right with God. And though he was crushed, and I'm sure he was hurt beyond belief, it didn't stop him. That's what David said, wasn't it? You remember what David said when his little baby boy died? He said, you know what? He said, he can't come to me. He said, but I can go where he is. That's the attitude you got to have. You know, they can't come back to me. And given the opportunity, they wouldn't want to come back down here. He said, but I can go up there. Hallelujah. You got to have that attitude about your loved ones, that nothing's going to separate you. Amen. You got to have your mind all made up. Amen. Poverty couldn't do it. Loss of health, sickness couldn't separate it. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a boil. Anybody ever had a boil or staph? Anybody ever had a staph? Oh, you talk about hurting. Oh, my goodness, it hurts. It's horrible stuff. Amen. I could ruin your dinner right now just talking about it. It hurts. I don't know that I've ever had anything hurt worse. I mean, it'll you can't sleep. You can't get comfortable. Amen. It hurts all day long. Amen. And I'm getting the gross stuff. But just take my word. It hurts. And Job had those things from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I mean, he was covered with it. And he got so miserable, he went down. He said, "I might as well. I'm just gonna go down here to the what do we call that today? The sanitary landfill. We used to call it, you know, the dump, but that now they call it the sanitary landfill. So I'm just gonna go down here. I'm gonna set down all this junk, and I'm gonna reach over and get me a piece of old broken pottery, and I'm gonna start scraping the top off this junk." And he did. And he sat there. His friends came to see him. He looked so bad and so miserable, they didn't even talk for 7 days. Now that's one bad-looking dude right there. I mean, he looked miserable. But you know what? He said, "I'm hurting. I mean, I'm hurting literally from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. There's not a place on me that don't hurt, that don't stink, that don't look bad. I mean, I've lost everything I got here. But you know what? He said, I'm not giving in, not giving up, not giving out. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to serve the Lord. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to turn me around because my mind is made up. Amen. You got to have that kind of an attitude. You got to have that kind of spirit about you that nothing in the world is going to stop you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And no matter what the world offers, don't give in. I think some of the saddest verses in the Bible is when Paul wrote from that prison cell in Rome, and he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. Demas didn't just forsake Paul. He forsook the Lord. Amen. And it wasn't because he didn't love Paul. It wasn't because he didn't love the Lord. It's just that he loved the world more. Oh, I know some people like that today. I'm praying for some people like that today. Are you? You know some folks like that? That's not that they don't love the Lord. They'll tell you how much they love the Lord, but they won't live for the Lord. Amen. You know why? Because they love the world too much. They got too much of that in here. Amen. And the only thing that's going to get that out is the prayers of the saints. We got to keep praying, folks. You got to keep praying for them. Pray that conviction comes upon them. Amen. Pray the Holy Ghost comes on them. Amen. Pray that their eyes are open so they can see where they are and where they're headed and what's going on in their life. Amen. So that they can shake off those things and awake. Amen. And get back where they know they need to be. Amen. You got to have a made up mind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This world's deceptive. And it'll do its best to deceive you and to destroy you. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Double-minded. The man that can't make up his mind. Amen. You ever been around somebody like that? It's tough, isn't it? Amen. And they just can't make up their mind. I mean, I'm one of those kind of guys. I weigh all the options before I make a decision. It's not easy. And it's not bad to weigh options. But eventually, you got to make a decision. You can't stay that way. I told some of you about a guy one time. He was during the Civil War. He couldn't make up his mind what side he wanted to be on. He said, I have sympathies with the North and I have sympathies with the South. I don't know which side to be on. He said, so I'm going to get me one of those gray jerseys that the South wears, and I'm going to get some of those blue pants that the North wears, and I'm going to wear both uniforms. You know what that got him, right? He got shot at from both sides because nobody knew what he stood for. Amen. Whenever the South saw the blue, they shot at him. When the North saw the gray, they shot at him. Amen. Double-minded, that's what it'll get you. The devil's going to shoot at you, and the Lord's going to shoot at you too, because you're not his, and you don't know which side you're on. Life's going to be miserable to get off the fence and take a stand and decide which side you're going to be on. Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But you got to make up your mind. Amen. There's a power in having your mind made up. Jesus said no man can serve two masters. He's going to hate one, he'll love the other. No man can. He'll hold one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. He said you can't do that. You got to make up your mind. You got to decide what you're going to do today. Now let me just say this right here. I know there's folks that, you know, some people struggle, and I've heard people say, well, I'm having a battle with such and such, and so I'm not going to come to church until I get over this. Oh, really? That's like saying, well, I'm sick, but I'm not going to the hospital until I get over this. I'm not taking any medicine until I get over this. I'm not going to see the doctor until I get over this. Huh? Don't make any sense, does it? That's where the cure is. Amen. And so what you're saying, when you say, well, I've got this issue, but I'm not going to be no hypocrite. I'm not going to go to church and struggle with this. Well, you may struggle, but your hope is in the Lord. And your help is in His house. And your strength is in His presence and in His Word. Amen. I'd a whole lot rather people come and struggle and have difficulties and ups and downs and still be in the battle and still be in the fight than to give up and just say, well, I'm going to go live in the world until I get over this. You're not going to get over this in the world. The only place you're going to get over it is in the house of the Lord. Amen. You're not being a hypocrite. Amen. You're in a battle. You're in a battle for your soul. You're in a battle for your life. There's some folks around here that love you. There's folks around here that'll pray for you. There's folks around here that'll lift you up. There's the folks around here that'll go to battle for you. Amen. And if you think we got to shoot the wounded, you need to pray through. Amen. If you think that only perfect people come to church, you don't understand what the church is. The church is not heaven. This is a hospital. This is the inn. You remember what Jesus said when He picked up that Samaritan? He said He took him to the inn. And He said, you take care of him. Until I get back, you take care of him. He said, I'm going to give you some oil. And I'm going to give you some wine. He said, I want you to take care of him. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Spirit. And I'm going to give you my blood. And I want you to take care of the wounded. And when I come back, if I owe you anything else, I'm going to pay you. Amen. That's what this place is about. This is a place where the wounded can come. This is a place where the hurting can come. This is a place where the suffering can come. This is a place where there's hope. This is a place where there's help. This is not a museum for the perfect. Amen. Praise the Lord. Museums are stuffy places. Amen. It's just got something lying lifeless on a shelf. On display. That's not what a church is. If you've ever been to a hospital, it's a busy place. If you want to rest, don't go to the hospital. Just about the time you get comfortable, come in and do something to you. They're going to check your blood. They're going to punch you with something. They're going to check your temperature. They're going to do something to you. Amen. Somebody said, I'm not comfortable in the church. You're not supposed to be. Do you know what my job is? My job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Either way, you're not supposed to be comfortable in church. Amen. This is about growing. This is about progressing. This is about working. This is about pressing forward. This is about getting better. Amen. We're not ever going to be good enough, so we got to keep stretching. We got to keep working and pressing forward. Amen. I know we're not saved by works, but you're not going to be saved sitting on your do-nothing either. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you got salvation on the inside, it's going to cause you to do something for God. You're going to want to be something for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we can't serve two masters. We just got to serve one. We got to have a made-up mind. Amen. Anybody got their mind made up here today? Praise the Lord. So the Apostle Paul said, I'm persuaded that death nor life, whatever life brings, it's not going to stop me. And then he mentions three things. He said, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. You see, the Jews believed there were three regions of angels, or three levels of angels, if you will. They believed that there was a level of angels that were just angels, and then above them there were principalities, and above them there were powers. They believed in different strengths of angels, different spheres of angels. Amen. And so he included all of them here, he said. He said it doesn't matter what rank they are. It doesn't matter what file they are. It doesn't matter what time they are. He said, don't you let an angel separate you from God. I've seen that happen. Yes, I have. There was a young man that come to church. He was doing so good serving the Lord. He loved God. He was doing wonderful, taught him Bible study. He was ministry material. I mean, the Lord had a call on his life. He was going good. And then one day he and some guy that he met, I don't know who in the world it was, they went out in the boonies and they stayed out there for several days fasting and praying. Man, when he come back, he wasn't worshiping. He'd seen angels. He'd seen all kinds of things. He didn't believe Acts 2:30 was necessary anymore. He didn't believe baptism was necessary anymore. He'd seen angels. He was too spiritual to learn anything from anybody. He was so spiritual, he didn't even have to obey the Bible anymore. Because angels told him what to do. If you get that spiritual, you're sunk. You have been deceived. And that's exactly what happened to that young man. He was deceived. Amen. And he said angels did it. Paul said if angels come and serve you your breakfast in the morning, don't let them separate you from God. If angels help you put your shoes on, don't you get separated from God. Amen. You got to understand angels are ministering spirits, and that's all they're here to do. That doesn't make you special because you see an angel. It doesn't make you spiritual. It doesn't make you better than anybody else. You can go to heaven without seeing an angel. Well, we got a weird world, don't we? Somebody sees an angel and all of a sudden, man, they can get booked in churches all across the United States talking about, "Woo, I saw an angel." Amen. I want to be like Mary. Whenever she was standing at the tomb and an angel talked to her, she didn't pay any attention to the angel. She said, "All I want to see is Jesus." Amen. Angels, not enough. I want to know, where's the Lord? What have you done with my Master? What have you done with my Savior? What have you done with Him? Amen. Paul said, don't you let an angel separate you from God. Amen. Doesn't matter how important he is, what rank he is. Don't you get off on angels. Amen. Get separated from the Lord. He said, don't let things that are present or things that are to come. Amen. Not today, not tomorrow. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to deal with the present every day. Every day we have to deal with the present. And we have to deal with the tomorrow if it comes. Some people, though, they get caught in tomorrow and they forget to live the day. They're so caught up in what they're going to do and what they're going to be, they never become anything. Man, you ever see anybody like that? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and they never get around to doing anything. Because they're always going to. When such and such happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. I can't give to the Lord right now. I can't pay my tithes right now. But in the future, when this happens, I'm really going to be a blessing to the church. I really am. Amen. I just know that my ship's going to come in one of these days. Well, I pray you're not at the airport when it does. Amen. You never can tell about folks. But you know what? I don't put much stock in people always going to. I thank God for those people that every day just go ahead and do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, church needs cleaning. I think I'll just clean it. That paper needs picking up. I think I'll just pick it up. Amen. I think I'll just do it. Amen. Just go ahead and do what's right there, right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. That may never come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I went to Bible college with some good young people. Amen. As far as I know, they never did much for God. Because they were always waiting for somebody to call, or a church to call, or somebody to call, or some door to open up. Amen. Well, no, you just go ahead and do what's at hand right now. Praise the Lord. You get a chance to go here, go there. You can go there, do this. Amen. I prayed a prayer one time. Wasn't a very smart prayer, but it worked out. Amen. I told the Lord one day, I was painting, as a matter of fact, it's right here in Athens. I was painting the house. Out in this hot sun, July, painting on this house. I was crazy, I guess. I said, "Lord, I don't care where it is. Just send me somewhere nobody wants to go." And guess what he did? He just waiting for somebody still not to pray that. And he said, "Ha, gotcha. One of the best things that ever happened in my life. I'm so glad I got to go and work in that place. Amen. It was wonderful. God gave us revival. Amen. God gave us revival. And we know it was the Lord. Had nothing to do with this old green preacher. Amen. God blessed us. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, it's good to step into a situation. And you know, I like people that can see potential. Amen. People that, I know people, I heard a guy, went to Bible college with a guy. He said, God called me to the big churches. No, he didn't. God gave the same call to everybody. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's everybody's calling. Amen. Everybody's supposed to go. Everybody's supposed to preach. Everybody's supposed to reach. That's all of our jobs. Amen. So it's not anybody called the big churches, little churches. You get a chance to do something for God, just do it. I think it said, did it not? Paul said, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. Amen. Don't say, well, this is somebody else's job. If you're there and it needs doing, get it done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let me address the other side of that. Amen. Some people, if you do something, they get upset because that was my job. Oh, really? Well, it needed doing. You weren't there. Amen. Is that right? If it needed doing and you're not there, don't blame somebody else. They do it because they just had time and they just went ahead and got it done. Say, well, thank you, brother. I appreciate you doing that. Thank you. This is your church. This is my church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I know we need to coordinate, you know, so we're not all, you know, somebody painting green, somebody else painting red, and somebody else painting white, and somebody else painting orange. You know, we kind of do need to coordinate things a little bit. I understand that. And a good way to do that is check with the pastor. Make sure who's painting what, when, how, what color. Not that I would know sometimes, but anyway, I'm supposed to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know where we're going now. We're somewhere here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Whatever you find to do, just do it as unto the Lord, right? Paul said, I'm not going to be separated by the present or the future. Now, he said, nor height nor depth. Now, these are two interesting words. The word height here has to do, both of them have to do with stars in the heavens. They're both astrological terms. So the first one refers to the sun when it's at its zenith, at its apex, at its highest point. And then the other one has to do with the star when it's at its lowest point. So what he's saying, because Paul is addressing people here, Romans, he's addressing people that live their life by stars. They believe that they're born under a certain star. Now, we don't encourage that because we don't believe that. But they believe that. So Paul is saying stars don't dictate your destiny. If you read your horoscope, let me ask you not to. Forget it. That's not of God. Amen. That's not of God. Stars do not dictate your destiny. Somebody said, what are you? I'm a Christian. Praise God. Amen. But what's your astrological sign? Haven't the slightest idea and don't care. I'm not subject to stars. I'm subject to Jesus Christ. I'm subject to the Word of the Lord. Stars don't make any difference to me. I'm not going to be separated if it's high. I'm not going to be worried if it's low. It doesn't make any difference to me. Amen. Because stars do not dictate my destiny. Amen. Neither do the little stars in Hollywood dictate my destiny. It doesn't matter who's married who, who's divorcing who, who's going with who. Amen. Who's having whose baby. I don't care. Stars don't dictate my destiny. Amen. Hallelujah. There's only room for one star in the church, and that's the bright and the morning star, and His name is Jesus. So Paul said, don't you let stars dictate your destiny. And then he said, or any other creature. I don't care if it's the baboon from the Black Lagoon or Blue Lagoon or whatever kind of place. It don't matter what it is. Any other creature, scary. Maybe, I don't care what kind of creature he is. Don't you worry about him. Amen. I've created some creatures in my time. I'll never forget when I was a boy, I was sick. I had my back turned to the door. It was night. I heard the door creak open. And I saw this creature come. I could see the shadow on the wall. I saw this creature come in. I saw them lift their hand. I was so scared I couldn't say nothing. I was just waiting for the knife to plunge. I was laying there thinking, just hurry and get it over with. Hope it don't hurt too bad. And about that time, I heard a voice say, Johnny, here's your medicine. But I created this great creature in my mind. We've done that. You've done that. Amen. You'll build up something in your life. You'll build up the devil. Some people build the devil up so big. You know what the devil is? He's a defeated creature. Amen. There's just one creator. Amen. We know that creator. Hallelujah. He said every enemy is under his what? Under his feet. And do you know who the body of Christ is? Huh? The church. So if you're in the body of Christ and we are the church and every creature's under his feet, I don't care if you're the little toe or the skin on the bottom of the foot, the enemies are under your feet. He has conquered every foe. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just telling you today, Paul said, I'm persuaded. My mind is made up. I'm assured. I am in agreement that none of these things are going to separate. I want you to notice the word. He said, shall be able to separate us. But say us. And Paul said, this is not just for me. This is for everybody. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we got to have our mind made up. Amen. Anybody in agreement with me here today that nothing's going to separate you? Amen. You're with the Lord. Nothing's going to separate you. Praise the Lord. I always like to go by when I go by the, you know, sometimes you go by the school or you'll see a class of little ones, you know, somewhere, and they got all kinds of ways of keeping them together. One thing I like is as they get this rope or this string, and everybody's holding on to the string. You know why they do that, right? So nobody gets separated. Because you know how they are. I mean, they can be right there now, and who knows where they're in a minute. Now they're gone. And so they're out there, and teachers say, now you hang on to the string. Again, now who are you following? Amen, Jimmy. You're following Patterson here. You just stay right up. You hold on to his pocket now. Don't you let go. And he's jerking on the pocket, about to pull him down. Amen. Amen. You know what? Don't you get separated. You hang on here. Amen. One of the worst feelings in the world is to get separated. That's right. I don't know if that's ever happened, but it's scary. Some of you remember when you were children, you got separated. I got separated one time. You know, and then when I got in church school, I got beat again just because I got separated. Wasn't my fault because I was hiding out in the bushes till everybody went by. But it was too, wasn't it? I wanted an adventure. I got one. And after the adventure, I got another one. When I got home, I got another one. Enough adventure for one day. Don't get separated. Don't get separated. Let's stand together. Amen. Got to have a made-up mind. Get your mind made up. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Songwriter said, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. That's how you got to do it. Get up in the morning, Get your mind stayed. Get it fixed on the Lord. Amen. And say, I'm not going to get separated today. There's a little storm brewing over here, but I'm not going to get my eyes on the storm. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I know so-and-so said something about me, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I know somebody don't like what I did or what I'm doing, what I'm going to do, but I got to keep my eyes on the Lord. Amen. But I know somebody wants me to go here and go there and do this and do that, but I know I can't do that and serve the Lord, so I'm going to keep my eyes stayed on Him. Somebody said that they'd give me some money if I'll do something that I know I'm not supposed to do, but I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Him. Amen. You got to keep your focus right. Get your heart fixed on the Lord. And don't let anything detour you to the right or the left. Just straight ahead, straight on. Amen. Walking in the path that He has prepared. Amen. Knowing. Praise God. Jesus' disciples asked Him one day, one said, Lord, would You grant that I can sit on one side and of Your kingdom and Your throne, my brother can sit on the other side? And Jesus asked him a question. He said, well, can you drink of the cup that I drink from? He's talking about a cup of sorrow and suffering. Amen. And then he went on to finish his own sentence. He said, indeed, you will drink from the same cup. And you know what? They did. James became the first martyr of the church. John, they did everything they could to kill him. They just couldn't. Amen. Because the Lord protected him. But he drank a cup of suffering. Amen. He went through persecution. But he had his mind made up. And he went through successfully. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a made up mind here today? Let me just open this altar for a little bit here this morning. Amen. Somebody wants to come and shore up some things and to make sure everything's all right. Amen. If you've had a little temptation lately, it's a good time to just examine it in the light of the love of God and say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Praise God. All of us have those times of testing. All of us have to deal with temptations. Amen. But every now and then we just need to bring it into the light of the love of Jesus and see it for what it really is and say, oh, that's just a trinket. I've got a treasure. Amen. That's not worth anything. I'm not falling for that. I'm not going to do that. Amen. I got to keep pressing on. I just can't let anything stop me now. We come this far. Amen. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord.
To turn around now, too far. Don't stop your journey now. You've come too far to turn around now, too far. Don't stop your journey now. You've come too far to turn around now, too far. Don't stop your journey now. You've come too far to turn around now, too far. Don't stop your journey now. You've come too far to turn around now, too far. Don't stop your journey now. You've come too far to turn around now, too far. Don't stop your journey now. Just keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling. He'll make a way for you. Just keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. He'll make a way for you.
Yes, He will.
You've come too far.
Too far.
To turn around.
Turn
now.
Around now.
Too far. Don't stop your journey now. You've come too far. To turn around now. Too far. Don't stop your journey now. We've come too far.
We have.
To turn around now. Too far. We've got to stand our ground. We've come too far to turn around now.
Yes, Lord, too far. I've come too far.
We've got to stand our ground. We've come too far.
Take it, Jesus.
To turn around.
Going on, pressing on.
Too far. We've
on.
Got to stand our ground. You've come too far to turn around now. Too far. We've got to stand our ground. Just keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. He'll make a way for you. Just keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. He'll make a way
yes,
for